Welcome back to the show, everybody. Got a great episode for you today. Probably going to sound a little weird just because if you didn't listen to the last episode, I'm changing the way I'm doing my YouTube and my podcast. Basically, on YouTube, I'm going to be doing like the reviews and stuff like that, maybe movie news. I haven't quite decided if I'm still going to do that on YouTube or not, but like pretty much whatever I do on the podcast is going to be on YouTube or vice versa. This week with Doctor Strange and Moon Knight, I wanted to get those reviews out there, you know, as quickly as possible. But with this, I'm posting it on Saturday. And basically what this episode is just the audio form of all of my videos on Moon Knight and then the Doctor Strange videos, which in order, my reviews are going to be Moon Knight Season 1. Going to start off with no spoilers. Then the spoiler discussion is basically just for episode 6. So if you want to hear my spoiler reviews for the other Moon Knight episodes, go find those in previous episodes. But I'm also going to be doing my Doctor Strange reviews. I'm going to be starting off with initial thoughts / reactions, which I posted on Thursday after I saw the film for the first time. And then after that is the non-spoiler review. The initial reaction / thoughts is also non-spoilers, just saying. And then after the non-spoiler review, of course, is the spoiler review for Doctor Strange. So those are all the things I'm covering today, as well as movie news, right after I thank the sponsors and get through the intro. But speaking of the sponsors, let's thank them now. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases. And you own those, so that's awesome. So, yeah, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
First piece of news here isn't really news, I guess, and doesn't come from any particular website. However, if you did go to see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, don't worry, no spoilers right here. We got our first trailer for Avatar: The Way of the Water, and you can also find it on YouTube. It's not released officially by any studio, but I'm pretty sure you can find it. Not too hard. But I will be honest, I don't care for the first Avatar movie that much. It's been years since I watched it. I think I either watched it in 2009 or 2010. It did come out in 2009, so maybe then. I don't know. But I remember watching it at home. And didn't care for it then. But it has been years since I've watched it, so I do need to give it another shot. I'll probably be not re-reviewing because I never reviewed it, but I will be most likely reviewing that film before Avatar: The Way of the Water comes out, which I believe is this year at some point. Can't remember when, but it's coming. But what do you think of that Avatar Way of the Water trailer? Do you think it looks cool? Do you like the first Avatar? Let me know. But on to the next piece of news. First official piece of news comes from Yahoo News, which I don't normally read from their news website, but fuck it. The first piece of news is director Justin Lin quit Fast X after major disagreement with Vin Diesel, says report. On April 26th, the Taiwanese-American filmmaker announced via the film's official Instagram account that he is no longer directing the 10th installment of the Fast and Furious franchise. New details revealed that Lin's departure was already brewing for months, according to The Hollywood Reporter, citing many sources, or multiple sources, rather. The production reportedly saw several challenges, including the scrapping of an important pre-secured location in Eastern Europe during due to the war in Ukraine. At the time, it was already getting late in the process, and the movie hadn't cast one of its villains yet. Also among Lynn's reported frustrations was the script, which he initially thought was settled prior to filming. However, Universal and Diesel, who was also a producer of the film, had other plans and even hired a writer to polish, to polish dialogue for some of the actors. Sources noted that Lynn did not welcome the idea at that time. On April 23rd, Lynn reportedly had a major disagreement with Diesel during a four-person meeting. The meeting started with Diesel discussing new notes and ended with someone slamming the door. Justin finally had enough and said, "This movie is not worth my mental health," one source said. By April 25th, Lynn reached a settlement with the studio to exit the production as its director while remaining involved as a producer. Lynn announced his departure 3 days after the reported argument. Universal would later note via a statement to THR that any creative differences leading to Justin Lin's exit were with the studio, not with fellow producers, cast, or crew. I call bullshit. But days later, an unnamed source with knowledge of the situation told New York Daily News, Richard Johnson, that the departure was Diesel's fault, accusing the actor of becoming a problem while filming the recent installments of the series. Diesel shows up late to the set, he doesn't know his lines, and he shows up out of shape. No one is dissing Vin Diesel on the record, but everyone knows, the source was quoted as saying. A veteran producer uninvolved with Fast X expressed shock that Lynn turned down a sizable paycheck by walking away. "I've never seen anything like it," the producer told the Daily News. "Lynn's giving up 10 or 20 million. God damn." But questions about Diesel's on-set behavior have been raised before, particularly after Dwayne Johnson called out some of his male co-stars for poor behavior in 2016. And I'm just going to go ahead and stop there. You get the idea. It seems like Vin Diesel might be kind of a problematic person to work with. But let me see. There's actually another piece of news here. It's from the Laney Gossip, which I have never heard of. But their headline is, Fast X has a new stepdad. A week after Justin Lin abruptly left Fast X, just as production started, a new director has been found. Fast X's new stepdad is Lois Leterrier, director of The Incredible Hulk and magician heist flick Now You See Me. If you go back far enough, Leterrier is also the director of The Transporter, The Transporter 2, and Unleashed. And all rad run-and-gun action flicks, so it's not totally left field choice. Besides a background in action, Leterrier is something of a journeyman filmmaker for studios, so he knows how to come and get the job done without making waves. Don't 100% know if this is real news, but it looks like there's a few different there's a few different websites reporting on it, so it's probably true. But yeah, IndieWire, what else? Jalopnik? let me see, Digital Spy. Nothing I'm familiar with, but enough people are reporting on it to make it seem like it could be true. But yeah, that's all I really have to say about the matter. What do you guys think about the whole Vin Diesel situation? I guess in the last piece of news, I said comment down below. But you can't really do that because I don't think I'm posting this news segment on YouTube. So, yeah, hit me up on Instagram and tell me what you think about the situation. But it sounds like we might have a problem on our hands when it comes to anyone trying to work with Vin Diesel. So, yeah, oh boy. But on to the next piece of news. And last piece of news here. I know, not a whole lot of news today, but Doctor Strange just halted everything, I guess. So, this comes from NBC News, which I rarely ever read anything from I never read anything from, like, these kinds of news websites. But, yeah, this is it's controversial, and I'm wondering what people think about this situation. But, and hopefully I'm saying her name right, the Gabby Petito murder case is getting made into a Lifetime movie. Some people say it's too soon. Yeah, I would definitely say it should maybe never even be made. Lifetime said the movie will explore Gabby and her fiancé Brian Laundrie's complicated relationship and what may have gone wrong during their cross-country trip. Lifetime has greenlit the Gabby Petito story, a movie based on the 22-year-old woman of the same name whose disappearance and death became wildly publicized last summer. The film will explore Gabby and her fiancé Brian Laundrie's, Laundrie's complicated relationship and what may have gone wrong during their cross-country trip that resulted in Gabby's tragic murder, the network said in a statement on Thursday. The movie, which is a part of Lifetime's Stop Violence Against Women Public Affairs Initiative, will feature actor Thora Birch, who will make her directorial debut and portray Petito's mom, according to the network. Laundrie and Petito set off on July 2nd of 2021 from New York on a cross-country trip tour of national parks, documenting their journey on YouTube and Instagram using the hashtag vanlife. I mean, for those of you who know the story, I'm not going to say anymore. And for those of you who don't know, just look it up, because I'm not trying to bring this podcast down a lot. It's depressing, and I try to have a more upbeat tone on the podcast, but I saw this and I knew I had to talk about it because, yeah, some people say it's too soon. A lot of people should be saying it's too soon. Like, what the fuck is wrong with Lifetime? Seriously. Like, I get it. You guys make horrible fucking movies, and your Christmas movies, like, every single movie is the fucking same. But do you really have to go out there and make a movie like this? Do you really? I mean, from what it sounds like in the article, they've been doing stuff like this before, maybe. But maybe not actually based on things like this. I don't know for sure. But this is problematic. Like, this is way too soon. And like I said before, like, maybe this should never even be made. You know what should be made about this is a docuseries or something like that on Netflix, but not this Lifetime bullshit where they're literally doing what they did with I'm forgetting her name right now. The woman who was killed by the Manson family, Sharon Tate. There we go. Yeah, they made like a murders of Sharon Tate or something like that, or the murder of Sharon Tate. That was like a horror movie, and I'm like, that is so tone deaf and just so fucking disrespectful to the family and to the victims, and I just don't understand why they felt the need to. I know they're trying to be woke and like be like I don't know, and spread awareness. I don't fucking know what their goal is here, but. You know, whatever it is, it's not a good idea, and I don't think it ever will be. It's one thing to make movies and TV shows about this stuff and, like, maybe base it off of it loosely, certain elements of crime and just horrible things that happened, or, you know, just making something fictional that could possibly happen but, you know, isn't based on anything. But to outright go and make a movie or a TV show based on something like this and, you know, hire actors to play the characters, especially so soon. I mean, this just happened last year. Like, I mean, this kind of makes me mad, to be honest. Not even kind of. It makes me really mad. This is Lifetime just going out there trying to exploit something to make a quick buck. And I see right through that shit. I mean, they could give the argument that they're trying to spread awareness and there's not many arguments. Like, I get it, they're trying to be woke and do these stories and get it out there and make people aware of things that are going on and try to, you know, protect the victims and stuff like that, but you're doing the opposite, honestly, in terms of, like, trying to respect the victim. You're really doing the opposite, just exploiting this. But am I gonna watch this? Probably not. I don't have Lifetime, so, like, I'm not going to get Lifetime just to watch this, but I don't know. Sorry to bring this down a lot, but I just wanted to talk about this because this kind of shit really makes me upset. I mean, That's Hollywood for you. That's studios and producers and these people that just want to make a quick buck off of whatever's trending. And a lot of times, whatever's trending usually isn't good news. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Hit me up on Instagram or Facebook and let me know what you think about this situation. Or, I mean, that's the only really way to contact me about this, because I'm not posting it on YouTube. But, man, just hearing about this stuff, it's one thing to hear about these things that happen. It's another thing to hear about these things that Hollywood is trying to exploit, like these terrible things that happen. This is fresh. It's one thing to make a show about Chernobyl that happened in, like, I think the 70s. I can't remember for sure when that happened, but it's one thing to make something about, I know I've referenced Sharon Tate before, but like the way they did that was just completely disrespectful, making it a horror movie, really, around somebody who was actually murdered. Yeah, fuck you guys. But I don't know, this feels a little bit different, but still not in a good way. Man, what is this world coming to? Actors are going crazy, going up on stage and slapping other people, and you know, the shit going on with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard and Ezra Miller and just all this horrible shit going on right now. And I feel like this is just adding to the fuel with Lifetime trying to exploit this and make money off of it. I'm just like, fuck you guys, seriously. So, all right, that's all I'm going to say about it, because I can go on forever just fucking yelling at them, essentially. But yeah. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to stop myself there before I say anything else. So, yeah, there you go. That's all I got for news. Sorry to bring the podcast down a lot, but after you see something like that, some people are just like, eh, I don't really want to talk about that. Most people probably don't want to talk about these kinds of things, but I'm not afraid to do it. So, there you go. Fun piece of news for you there. But, yeah, now that I'm done with the news, I'm thinking it's time to start talking about Moon Knight. So how about we get into that? All right, so Moon Knight Episode 6 just dropped. So it's time to review Season 1 of Moon Knight. Let's get into it. So, yeah, Moon Knight. I was very excited for the show, obviously. Got a poster. So I was excited to see Oscar Isaac in a Marvel role. He was in X-Men Apocalypse as Apocalypse, but completely unrecognizable there. So they kind of did what Gemma Chan, where she was in Captain Marvel, but also she was Cersei in Eternals. But yeah, you have Mark Spector / Stephen Grant. You know, these two different personalities inside one body, played by Oscar Isaac brilliantly. And then you also have Meg Callumaway. Hopefully I'm saying her name right. Probably not. But yeah, she plays Layla. Forget her last name. I don't have it pulled up right now. We also have Ethan Hawke as Arthur Harrow, the villain of the series. And that's pretty much the main cast. It's just like those three that are integral to the plot. But Mark, he's a mercenary. And Steven, he's a gift shop assistant, or a gift shop cashier, essentially. Just a British lad chilling in his apartment with his goldfish, talking to his living statue friend. You know, those people that go out there and, you know, they don't move, like living statues. But yeah, two very different lives, and they merge together. And oh yeah, there's also an ancient Egyptian god that just so happens to live inside them, called Khonshu. And I'll be honest, I don't know, like, the Egyptian gods or anything like that. I really don't know anything about Egyptian culture. I'm ignorant. So, yeah, none of the stuff I was, like, familiar with or anything like that. But I like how it kind of showed you some of their culture a little bit, just a little bit, like, mainly when it comes to their, you know, when it comes to their history dating back to ancient times. But that's what most people attribute to them. But
Yeah, overall, I liked the season. There wasn't any confirmation for a second season, and it's kind of sounding like there might not be one. But after, and I'm not spoiling anything here, but after that ending we got, it feels only right that we would get another one. So I don't know, maybe we will. Maybe there will be some sort of announcement that we're getting another season of Moon Knight. I would be very happy about that. There's a lot they can still do. I haven't read any of the Moon Knight comics, but I know just from watching this series and hearing what other people have to say about it, people that have actually read the comics and know this stuff, there's a lot they can still do with this character. He's a really cool character. I mean, maybe they'll do a movie, but I think he is a little more suited for Disney Plus. That being said, the scope of this show, when it comes to affecting the rest of the Marvel Universe, I feel like it really doesn't have that much weight carried into the rest of the MCU. I don't think any of the events that happen in the show will be that important to, the MCU overall and their vision. But I still appreciate the show for what it is. Doing a lot of really different things when it comes to mental health and, multiple personalities, I think is honestly the coolest aspect of this show. Just, Oscar Isaac going in between these two completely different characters. But yeah, he was great in that. Arthur Harrow, Ethan Hawke's character, he had his moments, but not the strongest villain for sure. I wouldn't say it's like, I don't even remember the name of the villain from Thor: The Dark World, but yeah, it's not as bad as that, but it's not good. And no shade towards Ethan Hawke. I just think, out of all the villains we've had, I really don't know. And it's definitely not as bad as the Flag Smashers. I did not like the Flag Smashers in what's it called? The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I did not like those villains at all. What they were trying to do is really vague. And honestly, when it came to Arthur Harrow, I mean, you knew what he wanted to do essentially, but it's just like, why? I mean, I get it, but like, I don't, but like, I don't know. He's okay. He's really okay. I think the moments when he shines most, and I can't even get into it right now, but yeah, I can't get into it right now. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say in terms of non-spoilers. One thing I was thinking is like, what other MCU character could be paired up with Moon Knight in a future project in general? And honestly, I don't know. Could he show up in Multiverse of Madness? For those people who have already seen it, they know. But for me, not seeing it yet, I have no clue if he shows up in there. Probably not, because I mean that's only a 2 hour and six movie, and 2 hour and six movie, 2 hour and 6 minute movie. And I heard there's a lot jam packed into that movie, so I would kind of doubt that he shows up in it. But you never know. What else could he show up in? I really don't know. Maybe like something to do with Blade. I could see that. That would be pretty cool. And then Werewolf by Night, which is a new show coming out on Disney Plus, or not a show, but rather a Halloween special, which that character is connected to Moon Knight in some way, shape, or form. I think that's like a villain in the Moon Knight comics or something like that. I'm not 100% sure, but definitely potential for him to show up there, and that would be really cool. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say. I mean, the suit overall, they mostly went with CGI. However, like you can see it in the marketing for the show. There's two different suits. There's kind of like a more traditional suit and tie with a vest or whatever. And then you have the actual Moon Knight suit with the crescent emblem on there and the rags. It looks more like a mummy. And the more mummy-ish one is Mark Spector, and the more, you know, nicely dressed one is Stephen Grant, which makes sense because he's British and the British dress very nice. But I like both of the suits, and sorry, my nose is like really itchy. But I have to say, when it comes to the CGI, they did a lot less from what it seemed like on Steven's costume, a little more practical. And I liked that. I kind of wanted more from that out of the more mummy-ish looking, and I know mummy-ish probably isn't a word, but the more mummy-ish looking Moon Knight outfit, which I still liked, but it's kind of like one of those Spider-Man kind of things with the new Tom Holland movies. You know, the suit just seems more CGI than anything. And I would like Marvel to go back to somewhat more practical effects, which it seems like they might be doing that with the new Guardians movie. Saw some set photos of some people in prosthetics, and that looked really good. So I applaud James Gunn for doing that. Good job, James Gunn. I'm very excited for Guardians, and hopefully a Suicide Squad sequel if your new daddy over at Discovery decides, hey, you can stick around in the DCEU. Sorry I said daddy, that was weird. It was really weird, but I was trying to be funny. But yeah, that's all I really have to say about Moon Knight Season 1 in terms of non-spoilers. I liked it overall. It's not my favorite, though. I would say maybe Loki what else? Honestly, I think Loki's still my favorite. I mean, it's not everybody's favorite, but I just really love Tom Hiddleston and that character. So that one always stands out to me. But What If is pretty good for the most part. WandaVision, I like. I actually went back and rewatched a few of the episodes there. Man, that show really started off slow. But what were the other shows? Oh, yeah, Hawkeye. There we go. Thanks for the reminder. Yeah, I like Hawkeye too. It was a refreshing change of pace. Sorry if I seem kind of, I'm not bored, I'm just tired. It's 4:19 a.m. I stay up late to watch these Moon Knight episodes. But now I won't have to do that anymore. I'll just stay up late watching Modern Family or something. But that's all I have to say in terms of non-spoilers. For those of you watching this on YouTube, go ahead and click off the video. You're all good. No spoilers here. I get it. You haven't had time to watch it all yet. But I hope that before all of you watch Doctor Strange, you at least watch WandaVision and What If. If you haven't watched the other shows, then probably not a big deal. I don't know. Haven't seen the movie yet. But those shows, from what I've heard, are like the most important leading into Doctor Strange, especially if you just look at the trailers and stuff like that. But onto the spoiler discussion for Moon Knight Season 1. If you don't want to hear any spoilers, you have already been warned, so get your butt out of here. But I have some notes here on my phone. I want to talk about the sixth episode in specific to start off with here, which as of recording this, I don't know if there's an official title. Let me see here. Excuse me. Yeah, it doesn't look like there's a title yet. It takes a while for them to actually put that in there. It's just saying episode 6. But 43 minutes, one of the shortest episodes so far out of all the Marvel Disney Plus shows, in terms of the finale, that is. But let me get to my notes here. I'm the kind of note taker where I'm just like doing a play-by-play and I'll like rewind and stuff like that. But we start off, we see Mark's body with the two bullets in him and some people take him out of the water that he was laying in. And I noticed that there was no blood in the water. I'm just like, I get it. It's still TV-14, but I wish they would have done that. These characters are meant to be gritty and, you know, it is what it is. But Haro releases Amit. Layla breaks out Khonshu. Khonshu goes over to Amit and is like, hey, bro, or, well, actually, Amit's a female. So he's like, hey, bitch. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, that was mean. Well, you know what? Amit's, yeah, she's a bitch, whatever. Sorry, I was hearing some weird noises. Not sure what that was. But, yeah, he confronts Amit. He's like, come on, you know what you're doing isn't cool. Let's not do this, okay? You know, that's not how Khonshu talks. Khonshu's more like, hey, I'm going to kill you and all that shit. So it's just like, Khonshu, you're not helping the situation. If we all could just, you know, talk and chill, that'd be great. You know, talk it out. Talk out your feelings. I've been watching way too much Modern Family, okay? But what happens next? Mark and slash Steven. Well, Mark goes back to Steven after the last episode where he gets all dusted or whatever. But, yeah, they're both about to get turned into dust or stone or whatever, and then Khonshu releases them, and they suit up. But when they get out there, they're actually going back and forth between Mark and Steven, so they're shifting between the two costumes. And I thought that was really fun, especially in the fight scenes where you have Mark actually kick, or not Mark, but you have Steven out there kicking some ass, like seriously kicking some fucking ass. Really cool fight scenes in this episode. You can notice I'm a lot more excited now that I can actually talk about the spoilers. But he is straight kicking ass and taking names. And there's something that happens where, like, one of his, you know what I'm talking about. Daredevil has them too, where it's just like batons, essentially. It, like, does a Captain America shield kind of boomerang, and it comes back to him. But then it's then it's Mark suited up in the mummy-ish costume, catching that thingy right there. And I was just like, look at that transition from them, you know. It's almost like they're both on the battlefield, like they are, but at the same time, like, you know, they're going back and forth between them. But it's cool. It's like both of them are there simultaneously, like both kicking ass at the same time, if that makes sense. But I thought that was really cool. And then the background, you just see Amit, like giant Amit and giant Khonshu fighting in the background with the pyramid right there. And I was just like, what an incredible shot. But yeah, Layla, is it Tarwet or something like that? The hippo lady. Layla becomes her avatar and she gets a badass looking suit. It's like all gold and white, and then she has these gold fucking wings, kind of like Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman 1984, but a lot cooler in my opinion, a lot less bulky, very sleek design. I like it. It kind of reminds me of Falcon a little bit, but yeah, that shit was really cool. Her costume was badass, and again, she's not a character from the comics, so this is kind of made up. But I'm also wondering if like this suit is inspired by another character in the comics. Maybe, I don't know. But let me see here what happens next. Oh, yeah. So Mark slash Steven, they completely black out while they're getting their soul sucked out by Khonshu's little fucking, I don't even know what it is, you know, his cane, essentially, with an axe on it now and like an even cooler gator head. I kind of dug it. It looked pretty cool. But yeah, he's about to get his soul sucked out. And then he blacks out, and when he comes back to, he has Haro's little cane axe thingy, and it's just like right on his noggin, and he's okay. It turns out by the end of the episode in the after credits scene, although you know, you kind of know he's okay throughout that, but you're like, is he dead? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but. Yeah, Khonshu is like, all right, Mark, we had a deal, peace out. And then that's pretty much that. There's a series of things that happen at the end of the episode where Khonshu is just like, all right, peace out. And then Steven slash Mark, they wake back up, and they're in the hospital with Dr. Haro, Ned Flanders, and they're just talking to him, and he starts walking away, and he's bleeding from his feet, like glass in his shoes that we saw in the first episode. And have been hearing throughout all the episodes when he walks. And then just a series of things happens, and then Steven ends back up in his apartment, right back where we started. And that's pretty much it. You know, Steven and Mark are talking to each other. They're both aware of each other, but we're kind of, in a way, just back where we started, but, you know, with different things going on and characters having new knowledge, mainly with Steven. But yeah, really, really interesting episode. Kind of lost me by the end, not really knowing what they're going to do with that. I was really skeptical, you know, going into it and ending the episode. I was just like, what are they going to do going forward? I don't understand. By the end of the episode, in the after credit scene, yes, there's an after credit scene, which I forgot to mention for the non-spoiler people to be like, hey, there's an after credit scene, so stay for that. So sorry to them. But we open, and I wrote it down. Haro wakes up in the hospital, but he's in the hospital, spills a drink or whatever, and the nurse is like, all right, it's time for bed. Some dude with gloves on comes over. He's speaking Spanish, and Haro's in a wheelchair. He's like, all right, let me take this guy. He's walking him through the hospital, wheeling him through the hospital, and they keep passing by dead bodies. And we get to the exit of the hospital, and there's a limo there. The license plate says Spectre, but it's spelled like S-P-K-T-E-R, or maybe just T-R, on both license plate front, license plates, front and back. And this dude, who we do not know, haven't seen yet, just heard his voice, pretty much just throws Haro into this limousine. And we see Khonshu with a nice-looking suit, kind of like what Steven had. So maybe he was like, all right, Steven, I don't like you very much, but you do have good style, I cannot lie. And Khonshu's talking to him. He's like, man, Mark was like, man, if I die, you're going to want my wife. But that's not true. Mark's a troubled dude. Or like, after we do the what we need to do, I'm done with you. And he's like, well, that's not true. Mark's a troubled dude. In a way, he's saying he has things he doesn't even know about, both Steven and Mark. And I'll get to what I think about that in a second after I finish what happens here. But he's like, meet my new friend. And, you know, the limousine thing where, you know, the driver can put down that one, you know, glass pane or whatever to separate them. And he rolls it down. He's like, meet my new friend, Jake Lockley. And he rolls the thing down. You see the face of Oscar Isaac. He's got the little cabbie cap on. And I forget exactly what he says, but he's like, all right, so yeah, you're going to die. So he shoots Haro. And that's how we end with the after credit scene. So I'm curious to see what they do next. And now that they finally introduced Jake Lockley, which if you don't know, it's another personality. Excuse me, I need a drink here. I'm going to regret that. But yeah, Jake Lockley is another personality that Mark Spector has in the comics. And he's who Mark / Steven has been blacking out and turning into, essentially, when Mark / Steven goes berserker mode, which is what happened in this episode here. And the problem I have with it is, like, each time it happens, I guess they get pulled away to more important things. But at the same time, it's like, we need to get to the bottom of what's going on here, because we might have another personality on our hands. But it makes me wonder where that personality came from when we learn about his trauma in that last episode. It really makes me wonder where that came from. But I don't know. I guess we'll have to figure it out if we get a Moon Knight season 2. But I certainly hope we do. That's all I have to say for Moon Knight season 1/episode 5. You know, I really just needed to review episode 5 overall and not go back over all the other ones in terms of spoilers. But for my review, I mean, my non-spoiler review. It's pretty much the same stuff I would have said for, you know, the spoiler section. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. Comment down below what you thought of Moon Knight Season 1. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? I'm in the middle, leaning more towards I like it. For me, overall, I think I'm going to give this season a... I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. That seems fair and accurate for how I feel about it. There's things I don't love about it, but overall, I think the good outweighs the bad. It's still not one of my favorite Marvel Disney Plus shows, but it's definitely up there. And I'm really excited to see what they do with it next. So, yeah, that's all I got for Moon Knight. So if you're watching on YouTube, thanks for watching. I will see you in the next one. For the people listening to the podcast, let's talk about Doctor Strange.
All right. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Just got done watching it for the very first time. And no spoilers for this video, or if you're listening to the podcast, no spoilers at the moment. Yeah. What a crazy film. I knew it would be a crazy film. And honestly, like, it met my expectations. It didn't exceed them, to be honest. But it met my expectations. I knew going into it that it would be a little shorter than it should be. From the very little reviews I heard, it does need like an extra 20 to 30 minutes added onto it just to tie up some loose ends. Maybe not loose ends, but to, I don't know, flesh out certain character elements a little bit more. But overall, I did enjoy the film. As of right now, I'm standing at like an 8 out of 10. I have two more showings to go to, one later on tonight and one tomorrow. So we'll see how I feel by that point. But as of right now, I enjoyed the film. I had a lot of fun with it. It's definitely not my favorite Marvel movie, but I mean, it's my favorite Marvel movie since like last year, I guess. I really love Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. I don't think I like this movie as much as that one. But there's a lot to enjoy here. And yeah, I'm trying to avoid spoilers here. There's definitely a lot. there's a lot. But yeah, I'm trying to think of what I can even say at this point. It's a very Sam Raimi feeling film. For those of you who don't know, Sam Raimi directed the film. He also directed the first three Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire. And Danny Elfman came back to score this movie. And there were musical elements in here where I was just like, huh, interesting. And by the time I saw Danny Elfman, I was like, that makes sense. Yeah, I think Sam Raimi did a really good job with this movie. It's very brutal. It's not like Deadpool brutal or anything like that, where it's just like people are getting chopped up left and right. But there is a lot of brutality to this movie that a lot of the other Marvel movies haven't really had so far in terms of the MCU. And I respect it for that. At times, it felt a little bit like The Suicide Squad. At times. Hopefully, that's not like a huge spoiler or anything. Not really. But, yeah. I enjoy the film overall. It's not my favorite Marvel movie, like I said, but the character of Scarlet Witch Wanda Maximoff, I think, was really good. One of my predictions that I can actually say is that America Chavez, her part was a lot bigger than what the trailers led on to make us believe. And I suspected that. And that's not a huge spoiler there, honestly. Like, that's the least spoilery thing out of everything I could say. But yeah, I enjoyed her character. Now, obviously, just, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch's Stephen Strange, I enjoy that too. You know, Benedict Wong as Wong. In terms of like a lot of the other newer characters though, like ones that got freaking pop figures, I don't have their names pulled up right now. Since I'm recording, I'm not gonna pull that up. I'm recording with my phone, but there's like the bull looking character and then another like sorcerer kind of character. And they have pop figures that my phone's kind of wobbling a bit. It's a little windy out. It's on my steering wheel right now. Oh well, I'll just leave it. But yeah, those two characters that got pop figures, they were barely in the fucking movie. So it was just kind of weird that they made pop figures for two characters that really didn't do anything, didn't do much. It's possible they could return for another movie, another Doctor Strange movie, or some other Marvel project. It would make most sense to be another Doctor Strange project, but now with like all the other projects coming out, I don't know when that's going to be, but they set up some things, that's for sure. There are two after credit scenes, like a post credit and an after credit scene, so definitely stay for both. I think that's all I can really say without spoiling anything. This whole movie's a freaking spoiler. Real Rejects said it pretty accurately in one of their reviews or one of their videos about this. This whole movie is pretty much a spoiler. There are certain things from the trailer that aren't in the movie, and then there's certain things, you know, in the movie. Well, you know, vice versa. Same difference. You know, things in the trailer that aren't in the movie. You know, there's elements of it. The tone overall in the trailers is pretty accurate to how the movie is, except the tone in the trailers makes it seem a little less scary than it actually is. It's not, like, horrifying, but there's definitely a lot of horror elements to this film, and you can see Sam Raimi's style just all over the film, and that's something I really appreciate about it. I've never been like a diehard fan of Evil Dead, but he's done those films as well. There were a lot of elements in here where I was like, this feels straight out of an Evil Dead movie. But yeah, a lot to enjoy about this film. And then there's some elements of it that I don't care for a whole lot, mainly having to do with, just not fleshing out certain new characters enough, mainly with America Chavez. Like I said, she's in it more than the trailers lead on, but at the same time, there's certain elements about her character that they don't flesh out quite enough. But yeah, I think that's all I can really say without spoiling anything.
All right, so Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is out now. I was fortunate enough to see it twice as of recording this. It is Thursday, almost Friday. It's getting towards midnight here. But yeah, I saw it twice in one day. Yeah, when it comes to reviews and stuff like that, I usually don't watch movies twice. But when it comes to this one, I was like, definitely got to check this one out more than once because there's going to be a lot in here to talk about. And there definitely is. But this is my non-spoiler review, so we won't be getting into anything huge here in terms of spoilers, cameos, anything like that, major plot details. Because honestly, like I said in my initial thoughts, this whole movie is a spoiler. There's literally not much you can talk about without spoiling it. So yeah, we'll see how can I get past 6 minutes with this one. Because that's how long my initial reaction / thoughts video was. But yeah, if you're listening on the podcast, non-spoiler review here. And then I'll be getting to some spoilers soon. By the way, I'm still getting used to doing just YouTube videos rather than posting the podcast episodes and then also having these YouTube videos be put into podcast form. Still getting used to that. Maybe it won't be the way that I'm always going to do it. Maybe I'll actually review things twice, possibly. I don't know. We'll see. I'm still getting used to the new way I'm doing things. But by the way, rocking this Rogers the Musical shirt. Got it from FYE, and I love it. Wore this to the movie. The first time I went, I actually wore my Pop Culture Podcast shirt, but I was like, hey, got to put on a cool Marvel shirt, that's for sure. I am seeing it again tomorrow. As of recording this, it's Thursday. Seen it twice already. Going to be watching it again tomorrow in IMAX 3D. I watched it in IMAX twice. And yeah, I'm really trying to think of what I can say without spoiling anything. So let's talk about the cast here. Not a like huge cast, and you know, with cameos and stuff like that, there's certain people I can't talk about. But we have Benedict Cumberbatch, of course, as Dr. Stephen Strange. We have Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda Maximoff / Scarlet Witch. Chiwetel Ejiofor, probably saying that wrong, as Baron Mordo, which I just realized not too long ago. I saw like a pop figure from the first Doctor Strange movie, and his first name is something that does not sound badass at all. What is it? Carl. Spelled with a K, so it's a little bit cooler, but his name is Carl Mordo, and your cool points went down a lot with that first name. But Benedict Wong as Wong, and then I think this is how you say it, Xochitl Gomez, probably saying that wrong, as America Chavez, and then Rachel McAdams as Dr. Christine Palmer. And that's all I can really talk about here. However, there is Sheila Atim as Sarah, and Adam Hugill as Rintra, probably saying that wrong, two characters, two kind of new characters. I said this in my initial thoughts video. Excuse me. Those two characters, they made pop figures out of them, and this is a mild spoiler here, but they're barely in the movie. Yeah, so I thought that was kind of funny that they made pop figures for two characters that really didn't do a whole lot. But, yeah, let me see if I can even read this synopsis without, yeah, I think I should be fine. Doctor Strange casts a forbidden spell that opens the doorway to the multiverse, including alternate versions of himself, whose threat to humanity is too great for the combined forces of Strange, Wong, and Wanda Maximoff. Yeah, so I did do a predictions video a couple videos back, and I can't say anything right now about my predictions, whether they came true or not. So yeah, I'll just leave it at that, I guess. I don't even know why I brought it up. But Sam Raimi directed this film, which if you don't know, Sam Raimi directed the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films. He's also done Evil Dead and a bunch of other stuff. He's done a lot of horror projects. And this movie is definitely a horror movie for sure. Out of all the Marvel projects so far, Disney Plus and the movies, this is the most violent and scary Marvel film / you know, in terms of the films and shows, like all heaped together, in terms of like the entire MCU, this is the most scary and most gruesome that the Marvel universe has ever been. I mean, you have Deadpool and stuff, but technically that was Fox, and so that doesn't really count. Moon Knight, I mean, it was violent-ish, but I think this movie surpassed that, to be honest. Because there's scenes like you see in the trailer where there's, you know, Wanda Maximoff, she kind of has blood on her face. And in the movie, like, it looks like blood. It's not like super dark like they do with a lot of blood like they did in Moon Knight, where they make the blood almost look black to avoid, you know, trying to make it rated R or anything like that. So this movie goes hard for sure. And Sam Raimi, you can tell that he directed this film because it has his flair all over it. When it comes to the editing, the music choice, just certain cinematography, visuals, all sorts of stuff. Like, this movie has Sam Raimi written all over it. It is a good thing for the most part. There are elements of this film that don't work for me. I don't know if I said this already, but this is not my favorite MCU movie by a long shot. There's so many good MCU movies, and not to say that they're getting worse, because they're not. I really love No Way Home. I really love Shang-Chi. I've watched that movie. I've watched both of those movies a lot of times. Probably Shang-Chi more, surprisingly, but I really do like that film. I'm really trying to dodge spoilers here. There's so much to spoil, and I'm excited to get into the spoiler conversation, because it's going to be fun, but... yeah, what else can I really say? Not a whole lot. I mean, I can tell you one of my predictions that came true, which I had a feeling going into it this would be the case. America Chavez was a much bigger part in the film than what they advertised. Yeah, that's pretty much the only thing in my predictions that I can actually talk about. I can't confirm or deny any of the other predictions, whether they came true or not. Because, like I said, this is a non-spoiler section, but Yeah, that aspect, at least, America Chavez did have a very big part in this movie, which I enjoyed. I really like, and again, hopefully I'm saying the name right, Xochitl Gomez. I really like her in this role, and I'm excited to see what they do with her going forward. You know, Benedict Wong is Wong. I can always give or take his character. He's kind of the comic relief for the most part. As of right now, and if you've been watching the other Marvel movies, because of the snap, you know, Wong is Sorcerer Supreme, which we already knew from, I believe, Shang-Chi. I don't know for sure if they addressed it there, but I know for a fact they addressed it in No Way Home. But yeah, Wong is Sorcerer Supreme, but Sorcerer Supreme is such a big deal, but he doesn't really stand out a whole lot in this film to me personally. I mean, he has enough to do, but not a lot. Christine Palmer, I would say, funny enough, actually has more to do in this film than Wong, the Sorcerer Supreme himself. But I don't mind that because I'm in love with Rachel McAdams. I really am, honestly. I saw her in a movie called About Time with Donald Gleason. No, that's not right. The dude from the Star Wars sequels with the kind of gingerish red hair. I really like that movie, About Time, and I kind of fell in love with Rachel McAdams in that movie. So ever since then, I've had a huge crush on her, and seeing her in this movie, I really enjoyed that. So, I mean, Christine Palmer, she's the human character. She was kind of just the love interest in the first movie. Spoiler alert for What if you haven't watched it, but the story they did with her character there with involving Strange Supreme, I thought that was really good. Probably one of the best episodes of that show. But yeah, I like what they do there. In terms of just like Easter eggs and stuff like that, I'm going to have to wait until New Rockstars posts something because I know there's going to be a lot that I missed. When it comes to the spoiler discussion, there's definitely going to be things that I missed. But yeah, I can't wait to see their breakdown and just see all the things that. Let's just see how much deeper this movie is than on the surface level. I try to look a little deeper and try to find the Easter eggs and stuff like that. And I kind of did a little bit here and there. But there's definitely things I didn't pick up on. Now, in terms of what shows you should watch in preparation for this, if you haven't really watched many of the Marvel Disney Plus shows, Loki, you're fine. Kind of a spoiler there. It's like, you know. Loki doesn't have anything to do with this. It's a 2-hour and 6-minute movie, and that's including credits, so it's really not that long of a movie. There's a lot to fit into that small amount of time. That being said, I do think maybe like 20 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes added on to the movie would have helped it a little bit more to flesh out certain characters a little more. Because they had a really good setup with America Chavez, but they didn't go far enough with it. Just in my opinion. And maybe they did that for a reason. But, yeah, I'd like to see what they do with that character going forward. One thing I was thinking about, and you know this from the trailers, Marvel's Illuminati is in the film. I would like to see them going forward and, like, maybe doing an Illuminati show or movie. That'd be kind of interesting. I feel like show form might work a little bit better, but they can get away with a movie. But that probably won't happen. Just because they have so many other things to do. But this film did set up a lot of multiversal stuff and open some doors for the future, possibly, with certain characters. So I appreciate that for sure. Definitely a little bit of setup. I said this in my initial thoughts / reaction. Definitely stay after the credits. There's 2 post-credit scenes or after-credit scene. There's after-credit scene, post-credit scene. You know what I mean? So stick around for those. It's a Marvel movie, so most people do. But yeah, let's talk about the horror aspects of this movie a little bit. I mean, this, like I said, this went harder than Moon Knight for me personally. And Moon Knight had some kind of dark themes. Mainly the darkest thing about Moon Knight is just like dealing with the mental health aspects of it with Mark Spector and that show. But with this, it's just pure horror. Like, I can't even talk about a lot of it. But yeah, there's like monsters and stuff in here, and yeah, there's gruesome kills. Yeah, that's all I can say. It's a pretty gruesome movie, and there's actually like kind of somewhat blood in it for the most part. And I appreciated that. This movie does go pretty hard for beating PG-13. I'm surprised the certain things that they got away with, but this wouldn't have worked if it was rated R. But at the same time, like, if your kid is under maybe like 10, maybe 9, this movie might freak them out a bit. It's a little freaky, depending on like what they're used to watching. Because as a kid, I'd watch maybe not horror movies, but I'd watch like pretty gruesome action movies like Terminator 2 and stuff like that. I would say for the most part, that's kind of a gruesome movie. I mean, he kind of like in that movie, I think he cuts like a hole in his skin or something like that to deal with the hardware inside of him. So that, not for kids really, but I mean, it's a Marvel movie still, so it's not absolutely horrifying to the point where it's just like kids couldn't watch this, but until they're a certain age, I feel like some of this might freak them out a little bit. It's a little freaky. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of how I feel with like maybe the new Jurassic World movie. There was a shot I saw in the trailer of that where a dinosaur is just eating a dude, and I'm like, I don't know if that's necessarily great for kids. And they have that dinosaur, or not dinosaur, but the Jurassic Park show on Netflix, the, like, animated cartoon for kids. And now kids are like, I want to go watch that movie. But it's like, people get eaten in those movies. It's not for kids necessarily, but it really depends on the kind of parent you are, how, I guess, mature your kid is, or how well they can handle that kind of stuff. But yeah, this is definitely a freaky movie. This is the scariest Marvel movie so far. And I would like to see them do something similar again, but at the same time, they're doing so many different things, I wouldn't want them to repeat themselves. One last thing I'll say in terms of non-spoilers, I'm really curious to see what they do with certain characters going forward, mainly America Chavez, a little bit Doctor Strange, but one thing I forgot to say, this is much more of a Wanda Maximoff movie than Doctor Strange. Honestly, they should have called this movie like Scarlet Witch or something like that, or Wanda Maximoff, I don't know. Because I feel like she was a really important part of this movie, almost more important than Doctor Strange in some ways. But yeah, that's all I can really say in terms of non-spoilers. Hopefully I didn't say too much. I don't think I did, but I'm not sure how long I've been recording here, but hopefully over 6 minutes. I think I should be good. I'm going to be getting in some spoilers here. For those of you watching on YouTube, my non-spoiler review came out yesterday, and if you don't want to hear any spoilers, go check out that. But for the podcast listeners, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, just go ahead and click off the video. We are all good. Or not the video, but the podcast, rather, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, because this is the last thing I will talk about in this episode. By the way, it's still kind of weird with the whole YouTube podcast thing, doing things differently. It'll all make sense eventually. But yeah, spoiler time. If you don't want to hear any, get the hell out of here. I want to start off with the Illuminati, which is actually a group from the comics that usually consists of Doctor Strange, Namor, Black Bolt, Reed Richards, and Professor X. Might be forgetting somebody there. But in this film, it's a little bit different. We still have Black Bolt, which was definitely a surprise for me. I never watched Inhumans, so I don't know that character at all. But just from this power set, I was like, man, that's a kind of a cool power there. Really powerful for sure. So it's cool to see Black Bolt. I don't know if it's the same actor from Inhumans. I'm guessing probably, but not 100% sure. Peggy Carter, Captain Carter, shows up as a member of the Illuminati. Don't know for sure if it's the same exact one from What If. Probably, maybe, I don't know. We also have Professor Charles Xavier. Sorry, I bumped my mic there. Of course, we saw him in the trailer. Well, didn't really see his face, but we knew it was him. Everybody knows Patrick Stewart. Baron Mordo, of course, is one of those members. He's the Sorcerer Supreme. I forgot for a second I was talking about spoilers. I was like, oh God, did I just spoil that? But he's Sorcerer Supreme in this universe that they go to. And who else is on there? Other than obviously the big one, but Captain Marvel, which is actually Monica Rambeau, Maria Rambeau, not Monica Rambeau from WandaVision. I was expecting Maria or Monica Rambeau, get them mixed up. But it makes more sense that it's Maria Rambeau because like the time frame of when Carol Danvers got her powers and all that kind of stuff. It's basically like a what if situation. It's like, what if, you know, Maria got the powers instead of Carol? So that was kind of cool to see her there. I'm assuming it's the same actress. I haven't watched Captain Marvel in a while, but pretty sure that's the same actress. And then obviously the big one is John Krasinski as Reed Richards, which I still cannot believe I'm saying that. To be honest, he was never my first pick for Reed Richards. But after seeing him in the movie, I was just like, man, this is so cool. I can see why fans wanted it because he's awesome. Peyton Reed, I believe. Right? Peyton Reed? Right? Right? Or am I thinking of somebody else? Am I thinking of the wrong director? I can't remember. But the original director for the new Fantastic Four movie stepped down, and people were like, maybe John Krasinski could take over. And maybe we'll see him return as that character, but I don't know. Most of the Illuminati members seem to be pretty fucking dead, other than Baron Mordo, which we didn't see him die. Strange just kind of left him. So he's still alive, most likely, but the rest of them, I don't know. Which is crazy, because in the movie they talked about taking down Thanos, and I'm just like, I get that Scarlet Witch is supposed to be like the most powerful being in the entire multiverse right now. But at the same time, like, they took down Thanos, and they just seemed really weak up against her. I mean, I get it, trying to make Wanda more scary, I guess. And it works. She's terrifying in this movie. But I don't know, I just felt like they got taken down a little too easily. And I'm a little disappointed that they introduced some of those actors as those characters just to rip them right back out. But maybe they'll return in the future. I don't know. Maybe Captain Carter can return in What If. Maybe, possibly, John Krasinski could return as Reed Richards. Possibly. I mean, it's the multiverse, so you never know. They could do all sorts of stuff. But upon first viewing, Doctor Strange, when Reed Richards was talking about the Fantastic Four, he said something about the 60s. And I'm like, was there a Fantastic Four maybe in the 60s set in like their universe where it's just like, oh yeah, this is an old team that we had and they're not around anymore because they were around in the 60s. But I don't think that's the case. I think he was just making a joke about like a band in the 60s. But it got me thinking, like, maybe, I don't know. But we'll see what they end up doing with that. You know, Wanda was asking Reed Richards, like, do you have, or no, he was like, I have kids of my own too. And then she's like, well, is your wife still alive? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, well, somebody's going to raise them. At least she'll have, they'll have somebody to raise them. And she's just like, but yeah, in the comics, like, I think the children of Sue Storm and Reed Richards are like pretty big characters and have they have powers as well. I don't know their names, but yeah, I mean, maybe it's something that could get introduced at some point. Maybe Emily Blunt will show up as Invisible Woman. I wasn't ever a huge fan of John Krasinski as Reed Richards. And, you know, we didn't get enough time with him to fully sell me on it. But I think Emily Blunt would be great as Invisible Woman, so I'd like to see that. But we'll see what they end up doing with this Fantastic Four project, if they'll recast the character completely now that John Krasinski came in and just died, essentially. But that was the moment out of all of them, out of both of the viewings, that people just lost their minds over. I didn't expect it. Nobody else expected it. Black Bolt was kind of cool, but like, nobody really cares. Nobody watched Inhumans. But it is cool to have like an actual member from the comics in the movie and as a member of the Illuminati. So that was pretty cool there. Let me look at my notes. Excuse me. Yeah, Bruce Campbell has a cameo in here. Not as Ash. I was hoping it'd be as Ash, but now he's just kind of like a vendor, essentially. But he has some funny moments there, and also he's the post-credit scene. So a little disappointing that he had to be the post-credit scene just for kind of like a throwaway joke. But they did it with Spider-Man Homecoming. But at the same time, like, this movie's so much bigger than that in terms of scale and multiversal shit. And it's like, they could have probably set up a little more, but oh well, it's a Sam Raimi movie. I'm still happy that we got a Bruce Campbell cameo, but it would have been so cool if we got Ash. I feel like they could have done it, but maybe with the studio rights and shit like that, it probably wouldn't have worked out. Wanda, my prediction was correct from my predictions video. She is definitely the villain of this movie. Not even just like one of the main villains. No, she is the main villain. And I expected that for the most part, but I didn't expect on this level. I thought there'd be like a little more at play, but like maybe Mephisto or something like that. And I was theorizing throughout the movie when they were talking about, oh, she can summon demons and stuff like that. And I was like, Mephisto. But no, that didn't happen. I thought it was interesting that Billy and Tommy were like actual, I don't know for sure if they were just like made up by Wanda and the other realities or if they were actually like flesh and blood children. But yeah, cool to see them back. Maybe they'll return in the future. That'd be so fucking cool. I hope so, but who knows? Maybe they'll do like a Young Avengers thing, especially now that they have America Chavez there. They could definitely introduce her into that team. That'd be so cool. I would love it. Yeah, there's a lot of potential going forward with the characters here, mainly America Chavez. I feel like there's a lot of potential with their character going forward. So I hope they bring her back and she's not just like, maybe not just a one and done, but like more of a side character. I want her to be more prominent in the MCU, I guess. Her powers are fucking cool as hell. And by the end of the movie, it looks like she's going to learn, you know, the sling ring shit. So maybe she can be a sorcerer too. Man, she was really cool. Hopefully I'm saying it right. Soshi Gomez, but really loved her in this movie. And another one of my predictions that came true that I talked about in my non-spoiler section. She was a much bigger part in the movie than the advertisements led us on to believe. And I'm happy about that because definitely some great stuff there. It was banned in Saudi Arabia because she had two moms. Just like, come on, guys, get your heads out of your asses. But yeah, that was emotional. Like, yeah, it was kind of dumb. That was like a bee that scared her. But I'm scared of bugs too, so I totally get it. But like her mom's getting sent away, and that's where I'm thinking like, man, we probably should have gotten another like 15, 20 minutes to actually like wrap that story up and like have her reunite with her moms. I think that would be fantastic for the movie, like a really emotional point in the film, like her reuniting with them and like apologizing to them and their parents being like, oh no, honey, it's okay. You were a kid. Oh, that would have made me cry. Honestly, this movie did not make me cry. And, I give a lot of props to any movie that makes me cry, even though it's really easy to do that because I cry at like Modern Family, but there's some good heartfelt Modern Family moments, so don't judge me too much. But yeah, I feel like it would have had a little more of an emotional punch if they could have done a little more with that plot line, but maybe since she can be a character moving forward, that's something they can do in the future. It'd be really cool if we got an America Chavez an America Chavez show on Disney Plus. I would really like that. That'd be really cool. What projects could she even show up in? Like maybe Shang-Chi or something? I don't know. What character would go best with that? I don't know. But I don't know what they're going to do with Doctor Strange going forward. They brought in, I think it was Charlize Theron, if I'm not mistaken, in the post-credit scene. Something to do with time fractures. I fucking know, dude. Something. That's where the new Rockstars videos will come into play for me, because there's certain things in this movie I just don't understand. So I'll definitely need the breakdown. And by the time I watch that breakdown, maybe I'll come back and make a short little video or something like that, being like, all right, here's some things explained. Here's things that I found out just from, you know, researching certain things and watching certain videos and stuff like that. I try not to copy other people's work or anything like that, but if New Rockstars makes a video, I will definitely talk about certain elements that I kind of missed. So let me see what else I have written down here. I didn't write down a whole lot. A lot of it's just top of my head, but let's skip to the end of the movie. Wanda dies, maybe. We didn't really see her like die. A building collapsed on her. So it's like, maybe. I have a feeling she's not dead, because nobody's ever dead in these movies, to be honest. You know, except certain characters that won't be coming back, like probably Iron Man. Maybe Robert Downey Jr. could come back at some point, but I don't think it's a huge possibility right now. And then like Black Widow, I don't think they're bringing her back, to be honest. But yeah, I'm trying to think of like other big things here. When it comes to the multiple versions of Doctor Strange, I found myself getting a little confused, because I thought Strange Supreme or something like that was supposed to be in this from What If, and maybe he was. Maybe that was the Strange in the like reality that was just getting sucked up into nothingness. Maybe that was him, but I'm not 100% sure. Or maybe it was Defender Strange. I just from the movie, I can't tell. So that's where the new Rockstar stuff will come into play and probably hopefully make more sense to me. At times I had trouble following a little bit when it came to like multiple versions of people, basically just Doctor Strange, multiple versions of him. I was just like, all right, which one is supposed to be Strange Supreme from What If, or like, is none of them that character? I don't know. Not 100% sure, but yeah. One of my theories was correct, that America Chavez and Doctor Strange went into an animated realm. That was when they were kind of going through all the different portals and into the different universes. And in the trailer, you can kind of see it, but they skip by it, obviously, because like it's kind of a big-ish moment. People didn't really lose their minds in the theater, unfortunately, but I was like, oh my God, I knew it. But yeah, they did go into an animated universe for a little bit. That was really cool. I definitely should have written more down, that's for sure. But I am very disappointed that they pretty much killed off all the Illuminati members. There is no like X-Men setup. There's no Deadpool in here, even though a lot of people thought they saw Deadpool on like one of those glass slivers on the first official poster. And for a while, I was like, oh my God, Deadpool's going to be in the movie. No, he's not in the movie. I think that probably would have messed up the flow of it a little more than anything, because this movie, for the most part, does take itself pretty seriously as opposed to a lot of the other Marvel movies. Like Endgame, that movie was surprisingly funny for the subject material, just like losing a lot of people and like going 5 years without these people being around. And it's dark, but that movie was surprisingly funny. And with this one, like it has its moments of humor, but it takes itself a lot more seriously than a lot of the other Marvel projects, which, you know, I don't have a problem with them inserting humor into those movies because honestly, I really enjoy it. But for me, it's nice. That's a nice change of pace for Marvel to like mostly take a movie seriously and not put too many jokes in there, because the subject matter of this movie is dark. There's a lot of dark things that happen in this movie just from the like first main fight alone. I mean, you have Defender Strange getting killed. That was pretty gruesome. But one of the most gruesome things in the opening for me was that fight with Gargantos, the big one-eyed monster, where they just stabbed him in the eye and his eye popped out and shit. That was dark. But the darkest part for me is just Wanda fucking murking the Illuminati members. That was intense, dude, for sure. And then the fight at Carmitage, probably saying that wrong, that was pretty brutal too. But overall, that Illuminati fight, it reminded me heavily of the opening of the Suicide Squad, where they're just killing people left and right, which disappoints me kind of, because in the Suicide Squad, while there's like actors and stuff where you're just like, oh, I like that actor, you don't know most of those characters, like TDK, the detachable kid, Javelin, it's not Black Samson. I forget the name of the character that Pete Davidson played, but yeah, like those characters getting killed off, you really don't care because like, what are they going to do? This dude has a javelin. This dude has arms that come off and just smack people around. It's like, what are they going to do? But in this movie, as opposed to the Suicide Squad, you have these legendary characters, Professor X, you have Reed Richards, Black Bolt, I mean, whatever, but like Haley Atwell as Captain Carter. To bring all these characters in just to kill them immediately, I'm like, what, dude? I mean, there's so much potential here, but I mean, I see what you're going for. I kind of appreciate it, but also, like, these are characters we could have used going forward. Maybe they still will, possibly, in some way, shape, or form, but we'll really have to wait and see. By the way, with this spoiler review, it's less of a review and more of just, like, breaking down certain big spoilers, but yeah, I'm not going to be breaking down like every aspect of this movie because that would just take me too long and I'd probably have to watch the movie like 20 more times to catch everything. So by the time that new Rockstars video or new Rockstars breakdown comes out, I might make another video about Doctor Strange and just like talk about certain things that I missed. But I'm trying to think if there's anything else like super huge that I really wanted to talk about. Not really, to be honest. I think I about covered it. I mean, I pretty much gave enough of a review in my non-spoiler review, and this is just more of like a kind of breakdown in a way. And this is just me talking about certain big aspects of the movie, but overall, the biggest aspect for me, like the biggest surprise in this movie, was definitely John Krasinski as Reed Richards. I didn't expect that in this movie. In a way, I was like, maybe he'll be in there. Maybe we'll have some sort of introduction to the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. Not really an introduction to the X-Men. I mean, we have Professor X, but it doesn't go any further than that. Same goes for Reed Richards. Like, I mean, he hints about like his kids and his wife and all that kind of stuff. But other than that, like, we don't get any huge setup. Yeah, I'm really trying to think if there's anything else I want to say. I feel like this should be longer because it's spoilers, and I kept saying like the whole movie is a spoiler. But I mean, if I go on, it's just me breaking down every bit of this movie, and I don't really feel like doing that. And plus, it's a lot to edit. But hopefully this suffices for you guys in terms of like a spoiler review / breakdown. Yeah, I thought I'd have more to say. And maybe I'll add another recording to the podcast episode after I watch it again tomorrow. But it most likely won't be available on YouTube if I add anything else to my thoughts on Doctor Strange in terms of just like, you know, the spoiler review in general. But when it comes to like the breakdown and stuff like that, after I watch the new Rockstar stuff, that's going to probably be its own separate video. And then I'm debating tomorrow when I go to the movies to see it again, asking certain just strangers, audience members, what they thought of the film, and maybe putting that video out, maybe if I have the balls to go up and ask strangers to record them. Something I'd like to do. It sounds kind of fun. Engage a little bit, maybe get a little more traction on the podcast from local people. That'd be kind of cool. But yeah, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. This is the spoiler review, so I'm assuming most of you have watched it, or maybe you just don't care about hitting this fucking mic. I'm assuming most of you have watched it. Either that, or you just don't care about spoilers. So what did you think of the movie? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you in the middle? I'm definitely more in the middle right now. I don't fully know how I feel. I think after watching it twice, in my initial reaction video, I think I gave it a 8 out of 10. For now, though, I think I'm going to give it a 7.5. Still nowhere near my favorite Marvel movie, but I still appreciate certain aspects that they're doing here. Sam Raimi did a really good job making this feel like a horror film. And I love it when Marvel and movies in general that follow a formula switch it up a little bit and try to genre splice and do different things. So seems like that's what Marvel is trying to do a lot with a lot of the newer projects, and I really appreciate it. Like Thor Love and Thunder looks like an 80s movie kind of, so they're going with different vibes for different movies and different shows. So I mean, like She-Hulk is supposed to be more of like maybe not a sitcom, but more of a comedy, which we haven't really gotten too much of, like just a straightforward comedy in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, like I said, a lot of the movies have a lot of humor in it, especially Endgame. Like, what the hell? That's a dark movie to have a lot of humor in, but they do it pretty well. It's Marvel. I have faith in them for the most part. After this, is my faith shaken? No, not really. It's just one that I don't particularly care for amongst other ones, but I still appreciate what they did in the film and setting certain things up and, you know, introducing this multiversal element to the MCU. It can open so many doors down the line. Like, I mean, if they wanted to bring John Krasinski in as maybe a different Reed Richards or like a prequel or something, I would prefer it not be a prequel because, you know how it ends at that point with Reed Richards dying. And I guess he could go on and be like, oh, Sue Storm and all that. But I would rather have it be separate from what's going on here. I would still enjoy John Krasinski being casted as Reed Richards, but they just have to go with a little bit different of a take with that, I guess. I really don't want a prequel. So yeah, that's all I have for the spoiler discussion for Doctor Strange.
And that is all I got for you guys today for the podcast. Again, sorry for the kind of weird editing on this. I had to kind of dance around doing the whole YouTube like intro and then outro thing that I usually do on there. And then you know, putting it into this form so you don't have to listen to the intro and the ads and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, a little janky episode, but I'll work on it. It's trial and error. It's a learning process, so it'll get better with time. Next week, like I said, I really don't know what I'm covering next week. I've just been binging Modern Family. I've really fell off the Marvel Netflix TV shows, and I'm not gonna lie, I was trying to stay strong and get through it, but I don't know when I'm gonna get back to that, to be honest. I'm a little disappointed in myself, but I'm surprised I got as far as I did, so maybe I'll try to get back on that train soon, but I just have a lot of things I'm doing. The weather's getting nicer, so like I'm trying to spend more time outside and hanging out with people, being more social, so I don't know what next week is gonna look like for the podcast, to be honest. Like, I keep saying like I said, but I can't remember if I said this or not. But I'm thinking of doing like a tier list or a ranking of all the Marvel movies. I think I said that in the beginning. Doing like a ranking or a tier list for all the Marvel movies, including the shows as well. So like all the MCU. Thinking of either doing that or just like doing a ranking for all the Marvel projects post Endgame. I don't know. I'll put a poll out on my Instagram, see what people think, but also comment. Well, I guess I can't comment down below. You're not listening on the YouTube channel anymore because I'm not posting these episodes on there. But, hit me up on Facebook or Instagram, Pop Culture Podcast, and tell me what you think. If you've made it this far in the video, which if you have, video, god damn it. It's going to take some getting used to. It definitely is. But I'll work on it. I'm not even going to lie right now. Part of me is just kind of wanting to quit the podcast in general. I don't know. I don't want to quit. There's a lot of things I want to cover, but I don't know. It's seeming like a lot right now to try and balance this YouTube and podcast thing. So if anything, it would just be like going back to what I was doing, but I just started trying this, so I don't think I should give up already. No, I won't give up already. I'm not a quitter, and it's not going to be like this most weeks. I think when it comes to like bigger releases, you know, that's when I'm going to have to kind of struggle a little bit to figure the podcast stuff out and the YouTube stuff out. But when you have just like a normal release, I mean, like that Brad Pitt movie, Bullet Train, like depending on what else comes out that week, that's not something I'm going to be like rushing to get my review out immediately. So for most movies, I'm probably not going to make a big fuss out of this, but for a Marvel movie and what it can do for my channel, you know, I got to get it out as soon as possible because there's so many other reviews out there. And, he's probably not listening, but I want to thank, Sean Chandler for his Real Creators YouTube channel for really opening my eyes and making me think about what I'm posting and try to do the best that I can. When it comes to the videos on YouTube with like the Doctor Strange reviews, I really didn't do a whole lot of editing on them. And I don't think it'll always be like that. Like I said, when it comes to these bigger releases, like Marvel movies, like when it comes to Thor, Love and Thunder, it's probably going to be a similar situation when it comes to when that film comes out. And then like, I don't know about Obi-Wan. I'm not too concerned about getting that out like right on time, like same day it comes out. But it's a learning curve. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out what my plans are and how I can make it work. I'm not giving up on it, even though I do want to sometimes. And I feel like a lot of creators get to that point sometimes where they're just like, I wish I could just take the easy way out and just not even do it anymore. But I've been wanting to do YouTube ever since I knew what YouTube was. So I feel like it would be silly for me to quit with not even a full week of trying it. But yeah, that's all I got for the episode. Just kind of wanted to talk about the craziness a little bit. So hopefully I'm not rambling too much, but just wanted to get my opinions out there and maybe hopefully see what you guys think. But yeah, like I said, Facebook and Instagram at Pop Culture Podcast. The link in the bio of my Instagram will take you to my website made through Wix, where you can find where to watch this on YouTube. Well, not the podcast, but where to watch my YouTube videos and where to listen to this podcast on all major podcast platforms. So you got Spotify, not iTunes, but Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all kinds of stuff. And there's also a link to my TeePublic store where I have three designs available. There is a regular pop culture podcast logo tee. There is a neon kind of trippy retro looking pop culture podcast logo. And the Doctor Strange inspired shirt where it has like the portal opening up and you have a cloaked figure with the Eye of Agamotto and blonde hair because I was trying to make it look a little bit like me, I guess. And then it says Pop Culture Podcast Established 2020. I really like that. I actually have one on the way. I was hoping it'd come in time for Doctor Strange, but it did not. It'll get here on Monday, I think. But I'm still excited to rock that shirt for sure. But you don't just have to get shirts. They have all sorts of different merch items. They have, phone cases, laptop cases, stickers, magnets, shirts, tank tops, sweatshirts, hoodies. They got baseball shirts. They have freaking baby clothes. What else do they? I think they have mugs. Yeah, they do. They have mugs, tapestries, notebooks, posters. There's so many different things on there. I'm pretty sure they have hats as well and face masks. And I'm probably leaving one or two things out, but I got quite a bit there. So yeah, all sorts of different merch items there that you can get with the three different designs I have. And I'm very proud of them all. I made them all myself. And I hope you guys like them. I know I do. So if you want to go pick something up there, that is the link in the bio of my Instagram, at Pop Culture Podcast. Scroll down to the TeePublic store. Click the box. It'll take you over there. And yeah, go crazy. You know, no pressure though. Don't feel like you need to go crazy. Get one or two things, maybe one. I don't know. Do what you want to do. But if you want to grab something, I'd really appreciate it because it supports me and it supports the podcast. And it also gives me a little encouragement knowing that there's people out there who support what I'm doing. So yeah, thank you guys for listening. I will see you in the next one.